Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tommy Tiernan podcast. Okay. So today's subject is language, and a notion that I have that language isn't really about communication. Language is almost a curse. Language is an attempt to define experience, and by definition, attempting to control the experience. So language I see almost as a negative thing rather than a positive thing. And the things that happen when you don't speak are nicer than the things that happen when you do speak. Which, if I had the balls, I would... Do you remember that John Cage, that composer who released... I think it's called 4:33. And it's 4 minutes and 33 seconds of silence. So if I could, if I had the... if I could get sponsors involved, I would release a daily podcast, a silent podcast. That would be my ultimate ambition, to have a podcast where nothing is said. But anyway, I want to just drill down into language for the next 19 minutes or so. Many years ago, I went on a retreat. A 10-day silent retreat in a converted farmhouse in County Clare. Converted from a farmhouse into a... not into a primary school or into offices. This is the genius of people. To take a 150-year-old cottage and surrounding buildings in the hills outside 6 Mile Bridge in County Clare and turn it into a Buddhist monastery. So what happened is it's a particular type of Buddhism in Thailand called Theravada Buddhism. And they claim, they also shave off all their body hair, and there are certain rules. If you're a Theravadan monk, there are certain rules. You're not allowed handle money. You're not allowed make your own food. Everything has to be given to you. You're not allowed be alone with a woman, because women are just... oh, the mischief between their eyebrows is just... you wouldn't be up to it. There's no protection against a woman's intent. Or once she puts that fucking forehead on you, oh, you're all hers, there's no escape. So even the Buddha, one of the most enlightened human beings that ever walked the world, said to his monks, the women, stay away from the fucking women, they drive you mad. So this is a real thing. So if you're an American who gets interested in Buddhism and wants to, you know, you could be a Zen Buddhist or you could be a Tibetan Buddhist, or if you go to be a Theravadan Buddhist, a monk, you cannot be alone with a woman. That's one of their rules. But they claim that this is the... they use a language called Pali, which is the language, nobody speaks it anymore, but it's the kind of the scriptural, ritualistic language that was spoken in Buddha's time. And they chant, and this chanting is beautiful. Namo tasso bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Now, I've got that wrong, but that's the gist anyway. It's very, very beautiful language to listen to. So because it's relatively close to the house here, County Clare, so I signed up, and I was very nervous actually, but I signed up for this 10-day silent retreat, and you don't speak at all. There was 18 or 20 of us on this thing, and for the 10 days you didn't make eye contact with other people. You meditated for 7 or 8 hours of the day, and you did you did nothing but thinking and wondering why you're not pooing. You weren't walking enough to poo. And also, you were eating a lot of carbs. They have strange dietary restrictions as well. You don't eat past 12 o'clock in the day. You can have a sliver, like a, not even, wouldn't even be the size of a thumbnail, a bit of cheese and dark chocolate at 5 o'clock in the evening. But basically, after lunchtime, you didn't eat. And the reason for the restrictions, like the reasons they say a Theravadan monk can't handle any money and can't make his own food, is that when the Buddha was designing this priesthood, he didn't want the boys just fucking off into the hills and living in caves. He wanted them to be dependent on the community. So they had to interact. So they had to leave the forest and go into the village with a bowl and say, any chance of a bit of food? And the idea is, if they got no food, they'd die. Not the idea, but that would actually happen. So it's that you never divorce yourself from the community that you live in. But anyway, a strange thing happened. It was mixed. It was about, you know, lots of bendy young ones go to these retreats. Bendy young ones in tracksuits and they're fine. They're good. They're nice to be. Anyway, so what happened was, so 9 days of silence, 9 days of moving around one another without making eye contact, 9 days of quietness, 9 days of kind of respect for other people. And then the person who's leading the retreat, on the transition from the 9th to the 10th day, he rings a bell, and the bell is the end of the silence. And for the next 12 hours before you drive home to Dublin or Wexford, you can talk to one another. And what was remarkable was the bell was rung and people started hugging one another. Now, I didn't hug anybody because my wife said to me, don't you be fucking hugging any bendy, stretchy young ones in tracksuit bottoms. You know, and she was right to. Now, sometimes I work as an actor, and my wife says to me, there's no kissing. Like, if I got cast in a movie or a sitcom and I had to kiss somebody, well, sure, I wouldn't be allowed. The wife wouldn't let me. And I said, why am I not allowed to kiss anybody? And she said, because if you're in a film and the scene calls you to shoot somebody, you don't actually fucking shoot them, you know? But if a scene calls you to kiss somebody, well, you are actually kissing them. Even though you're both pretending to be other people, you're still munging the face off one another. So she's right, no kissing. And no, if you go to a 10-day silent retreat at the end of it, no hugging bendy, stretchy young ones in tracksuit bottoms. You know, my wife is a bendy, stretchy young one, and she has a tracksuit bottom. So I get enough of that at home. And what amazed me about this was that the hug was a gesture of intimacy. Intimacy that had happened because of silence. We didn't feel as if we needed to get to know one another through talking. We knew one another by being around each other in a quietness that is deeper than language. The way cows would, you know, like a herd of cattle just touching and nudging one another, flanks against flank. And I was blown away by this intimacy. And it made me realise that you don't actually have to talk in order to feel close to somebody. The English language is a difficult beast. It's a very technical. It never really hits the nail upon the head. I live here in a place called Barna, which is on the edge of the Connemara Reservation. A lot of native Irish speakers live out the road in the most appalling poverty. we should do, really, the English speaking Irish need to do for the reservationists what the American government did for the Native Americans. Give them casinos and let them ride around in horses and call each other Rolling Thunder and Big Hips and all these wonderful evocative names. So I hear Irish and I am very drawn towards Irish, and it feels to me Irish is wonderful. You know, there's more empathy in the Irish language than there is in the English language. It's softer, it's more playful, it is brain deep in empathy and care and good love. But I know that I'll never, ever, ever be able to speak it fluently. I'll never be able to dream in Irish. I'll never be able to think thoughts in Irish. I'm kind of saddled with a language that doesn't suit me in a way. And maybe the fact that English doesn't suit me has helped me realise the gap between the words I use to describe the experience of being alive and the feeling of being alive. And there's too much of a gap. I mainly learned to speak English around Navan. And Navan is a verbally violent town. I mean, it is just from Navan up to Louth and across into Monaghan and Cavan and bits of East Leitrim. There is a dialect there. There's a kind of a... there's a rolling thunder way of talking, and you could get the head bet off you with words. People don't need fucking crowbars and fists to hammer the fuck out of one another in Navan. They use words, and the accent is trembling with a suppressed kind of fucking violence that at any fucking moment could just take the head clean off of your fucking shoulders. It's the only part of the country where they used... it doesn't even feel right coming out of my mouth. You know the word I'm talking about. Do you know that word? You know that... It's just... Yeah, you look at you. Look at this. Here he is. It's just... If I was a Navan, it's a term of affection. Well, you're some, you know. But here in Galway, it would be inappropriate to use that word. It doesn't sit well with where I am. The Galway accent is kind of, there's a, how's it going? Pure Galway, like it's a kind, there's a thinness in it, you know, because it's an accent that was reared on fucking small dinners. Like the Navan is down. The land up around Meath is so rich that the accent is well fed. You know, it comes from just below your fucking diaphragm, from the full belly full of spuds and fucking custard apple tart and pies. There's a, you know, you're, it's a very nutritious language, accent.
In Galway, it's more like when we didn't, you know what I mean?
It's, you, it's a skinny accent. You move from Galway out the road. If you travel north out of Galway, up towards Mayo, like, they must have been able to grow grass in Mayo, because ash stop. It's all, things are kind of softened up. There was a bit more going on in Mayo. Maybe they'd access to fish or something. But there's a bit more softness in the Mayo accent. The Galway accent probably has more in common with the Cockney East End.
You know, how's it going? Yeah. All right. What are you saying in here?
And the Cockney accent is also a very skinny accent, because it's, you know, 300 people living in a tenement in Balham. And there was fuck all to go around. So the accent was starved. The Eastern European accent, now, that's one that... they were tough times when that accent was invented, and people were really pitted against one another in a wild effort to survive. So the reason why... You can almost do it without separating your teeth, you can, that accent. So the reason for that is that if you got a bit of food... you'd keep it in your mouth, and you'd want to be able to talk to somebody without them knowing that you were after getting the bite of an apple or something. So, you do have the food in your mouth. No, why would you think I have food in my mouth? I don't. I'm like you. I'm starving. The Australian accent now is another strange one. The Australian accent, so the Australian accent is mainly white people wishing they were back in Europe. That's the accent of the Australians, is that
it's gonna, you know, if you gonna just let...
Basically, it's an inch away from screaming. That's all it is. If you let the Australian accent just...
Oh, I'll tell you what,
It's a collision between consonants and pain, because so white people went out to Australia in the 1700s or 1800s, and they realised very quickly that fuck, it's hot here. I want snow and rain and buildings that are close together, and, as Bill Hicks said, rosy cheeked women drinking cappuccinos. But
there's too hot here. Wow.
And the African accent is as close to music. Because maybe we were at our most joyful when we were all just in Africa, you know, sitting there in the trees, you know, just kind of... Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it just kind of... It's the South Korean accent. They just sound like moany fuckers. Don't I've ever watched a movie that comes from South Korea? There's an awful drop. The Newcastle accent is just an attempt to survive the fucking cold. What ya see? What fucking... It's about... If you're in Newcastle, it's so fucking freezing that what they're trying to do is get as much... their body is struggling with the fucking cold air that's going into their fucking lungs. What ya see? What fuck? What you... What a fucking day. So fucking cold. But I suppose at least there's a bit of physical movement in the Newcastle accents. It's even colder again up in Scotland, so they don't move their bodies at all. It's got... Oh, Jesus Christ, oh, fucking... You didn't know the fuck you... I didn't know that. I didn't wish you go down the fuck. Fuck. That's the only part of their body that's able to move in the weather, is their fucking mouths. So to sum up, I think what I'm suggesting is that all language and all accents, they're a struggle against the environment that you're living in. And I snore a good bit, and I tend to wake anybody who's within a 40-foot radius of me. So sometimes I'm sent to different parts of the house to sleep, you know. And my wife, though, and rightly so, my wife insists that we sleep together, because she's aware and has taught me to be aware that there is a communication that happens between people when both of ye are silent in the one space. And maybe that's the genius of the marital bed. Now, I know people wake up in the morning fucking hating one another, and but what silence does is it gives you the opportunity to communicate with other people in a way that words cannot. Thank you all very much. Hope you enjoyed it, and I'll see you next time.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.